The 10 o'clock hour
of Wilde and Tausch begins now.
And I guess my question now is this. So you're only uneasy about the defense. You don't think there should be any criticism levied whatsoever that they don't have a swing tackle. So tell me.
No. Don't mischaracterize what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what you did to what I said. That's what you did to what I said. You mischaracterized it. Bashing.
You're panicking because they don't have Walter Jones as a third tackle.
Talk about mischaracterizing.
You're super concerned, and all I'm saying is
Yosh Nijman is not Walter Jones. I'm not going to relitigate this. You're changing the story.
Okay.
And now
you're not going to relitigate because you just got wapnered. I wapnered you. Bam. Out of here.
Oh, snap.
Bailiff, throw Wilde in the clink because you got wapnered. Let's go.
Remember this the next time you're mad that I don't have a take or an opinion. So in your expert opinion,
you
analyst.
Don't you do this.
So what are you concerned about?
Don't you do this.
What are you concerned about on this team then?
You?
Because Lord knows you can't express concern that if one guy goes down a tackle, they're screwed and they're going to get their quarterback hurt.
Do
that.
So don't you think if one guy gets hurt, if Zach Tom isn't playing and they don't think, yes, they're going to go and scour, as Rob said, and the fact that it's that open was, interesting. And it fits your narrative great. No question.
You said it was a sound graph. It was so good.
It is a sound graph. It's good because that's Rob reporting something. My point is, we all have said that they feel really good. If Sean Ryan has to be their sixth guy, the beauty of having Elton Jenkins or Jordan Morgan, both guys can play tackle. Now, we don't want Elton playing right tackle. We've seen that. That's not where we want him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say we don't want Jordan Morgan playing right tackle, or if he has to swing out, play left tackle. It is really, and I guess what's frustrated me, and then we will move on, is that you just assume that you should be littered with really athletic, great offensive linemen when I'm watching teams that can't protect with their first two, and we're just going to snap our fingers and grab some stud or stud adjacent that can come in and be, you know what? Just in case something happens, make sure you can play left tackle and right tackle at a high level in this league. It ain't like that. And I know that, and that's what frustrates me about your commentary, Jason. That's all.
They lost a 5-time All-Pro last year, and they had two guys that were ready to play if they needed them. Now they have none.
Did we know that,
I don't think
though,
it's unreasonable.
Jason, at the time?
We knew Yosh Nijman could play. We didn't know that Rashid Walker was going to outplay him. But, yes, we did know that they had a guy that could fill in. We did. We knew that. So my point is that it is champagne problems. The fact that we are arguing about the swing tackle should be very encouraging to Packers fans that there aren't those types of questions about their starting lineup. That's a great thing.
But
says something like that, and your ears perk up as a former offensive lineman, as someone who praised this team for getting its crap together on the offensive line to allow its young ascending quarterback to play at a high level, I'm sorry that I'm old and I've seen too many teams have their seasons derailed by dog crap offensive line play to say that I am watching these guys. And by the way, yes, Rob's point about getting Zach Tom back is huge, but if you take a look at what's happened in camp, a lot of the reasons why the Packers' offense sucks more often than not is because their offensive line can't handle the guys up front. So this is not minuscule concern. This is a fair concern. It is not a crushing of Brian Gutekunst's tenure. It is not bashing him. It is pointing out that there is a hole on this team that should concern you. There aren't many holes, but this is one. And if Luke Tenuta, who they kept around all year last year, even though he couldn't play because of his injury, gets healthy and is able to be that guy with two parents that played basketball at Virginia and who know Tony Bennett, I am all in on Luke Tenuta, baby. But right now,
you should be all in on that swing tackle Tenuta then.
All I know now is that they have a bunch of guys that they don't feel comfortable in at all. And I thought that maybe that Andre Dillard would be that guy. Call me crazy for thinking that a first-round pick could, with a new scenery, be a reliable backup. Not a 17-game starter, but a reliable backup. Call me crazy, Carly Rae Jepsen, but that's what I thought. And he has not been it so far.
Is that the high school song?
No, yeah, Carly Rae Jepsen is, I just met you, and this may be crazy. Call me, call me maybe.
Yeah. So, Jason, to answer your question, what am I concerned about? Swing tackle is what I'm concerned about.
Can I use obscene finger gestures on the radio, on the video?
I'm not sure
is
how
that
the video
legal?
Screen works. I'm not 100% sure what works. There are, obviously, there's depth issues. There's a lot of things to be concerned about, and I guess when it comes to the easy answer to this whole question of what are you concerned about is going to be the place kicker, because that's where they don't have one. The NFL, you should be blessed. If you have 22 starters that you feel really good about, you have to figure the rest of it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have to draft and develop and get guys ready, because you're not going to have surpluses, just like a lot of places. You're going to be... Very rarely are you going to have surpluses of, I have a fourth DB that should be playing, would start for 15 teams. Well, it's not typically how it works. If you do, you take advantage, blah, blah, blah. The fact that we have nobody we feel good about in that position has been the storyline, and it's been something that I think most of us are very concerned about. Not the third swing tackle, maybe if they have to go to that position, even though they have two guys that are starters that can play tackle, and then a guard that has played a ton of snaps that they can bring in, and a guy that can play center because he's played a ton of center. I just am not as worried about depth on the O-line as you are as we sit here now, but when you have one or two injuries, that's when that will rear its ugly head. Fair.
All right. Last thing on this. Thank God. Do you think that there's a chance that they don't believe that Jordan Morgan is an NFL tackle, that they believe that he's like Elgton Jenkins, who can be a Pro Bowl guard? Do you think that that's possible? And if so, that they drafted him in the first round, that would be interesting to me. So I assume they think he can be a left tackle, but... it just surprises me that throughout camp before his shoulder injury, he just didn't take any snaps there at all. So this idea that, you can kick him out there if something happens to Sheed, well, he hasn't practiced the position since the offseason program. So that, again, strikes me as less than ideal.
Well, I think SAS is real. I think the SAS effect is real, short arm syndrome. I think that that's something that people will look at and say, well, can he do that? Is he long enough? I disagree vehemently with that proposal, and I'm sure Brian Bulaga would echo those same thoughts.
And Joe Thomas.
But that is something. It is surprising, I will say, that I think we all just kind of wrote it as, boy, Sheed really just grabbed hold of it. Was there even a competition? I don't know. Was there a point where they thought that he could surpass him? Obviously not. And the fact that he's a really good athlete and can move well is great, and that's why he's versatile and he can play. But, yeah, you don't draft a guy that has only played tackle his whole life and then just say, we're just going to put him at guard. You want him to get those reps. You want him to cross-train like Green Bay does.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't ever remember Walter Jones or Ogden or Joe Thomas –
or Chad Clifton.
Now, granted, those guys were drafted a little bit higher than Jordan Morgan. They weren't interested in dabbling with playing him that right guard.
Yeah.
It's, here you go. Bam. Plop, plop, place, and show and go for 10 years minimum at left tackle. And especially with someone that they were questioning if his foot speed was good enough, and he's a seventh-round pick, they're always looking, can we get somebody better? Is there somebody that can play this? And the fact that they didn't gives me pause and probably makes me wonder why you're asking that question. Makes me think there's probably some there.
Well, Johnson & Sons Paving has all kinds of depth. They've got all kinds of guys that can do the paver and the roller. They're so good that they didn't have to keep you. So they have depth. They have assembled great team.
That is a ringing endorsement that they didn't have to keep me because their depth is good. Summer is here, but before you know it, you'll be prepping for winter. Johnson & Sons Paving wants to make sure you're ready by remembering the 3 R's of parking lot and asphalt maintenance. Reseal.
Am I supposed to hit myself when you do that?
No, I thought Riley's going to hit the ding button. Reseal.
Oh, okay.
That's not the ding button. But every 2 to 3 years, repair. When you see signs of cracking or potholes, and replace. If there's constant standing water, warping, buckling, or sinking, don't scare your customers or tenants with a bad parking lot. Connect with Johnson & Sons Paving today to fix those minor repairs before they become huge headaches. Visit johnsonandsonspaving.com right now to schedule an appointment. I kind of like that where you do a different sound effect on each of the 3 R's of asphalt maintenance.
Yeah, not all the 3 R's are the same, so they need a different sound.
Yes.
I agree. Well done. Putting your little youngster flair on it. I like that.
Almost as good as holding the asphalt the way Tausch has begun to do. Can't wait till Johnson & Sons Paving has someone from their team throwing out the first pitch at a Brewers game. We need to get to our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. We will do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Do the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week
coming up next, just because I want to give a little more time to discuss the guys who make the preseason. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say my favorite time of the year, but close to it on the football calendar. The Alex Hales, or the Alan Hales as Tausch calls him, the Brenton Coxes, the Grant Duboses, etc. So let me ask you this. And then we'll get to Sleepers of the Week next. So we talked about being uneasy. We certainly had a spirited debate about the swing tackle job. The fact that Jordan Love is playing, on a scale of 1 to 10, your uneasiness with him being on the field, and then help me understand if he goes out there and hands off to Josh Jacobs or A.J. Dillon on first and second down, throws an incomplete pass to Romeo Doubs on third down, and then he doesn't play anymore, why it was worth it to put him out there.
Well, that's not what they're going to do. You're going to put him out there, he's going to play.
He's got to play at least two series, I would think.
Well, that part I don't know, but what you do know is that there's something that Matt LaFleur wants to see. Whether it's the offense just getting into some kind of a rhythm, or, you know, I think Matt LaFleur looks at what they've done in the past, whether it's with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback or Jordan Love, and you got to play football. And you can't sit here and play scared. Now, you're not going to be idiotic about a game that doesn't count, but you also understand that you have to establish things and you have to start getting into game format. And that's what this is going to be. So how concerned am I on a scale of 1 to 10? 1. I'm not concerned because, yeah, you can get injured in practice. Obviously, there's a higher risk. That's why I went up from 0 to 1. But I want my guys playing. And this will be – you're going to play the results on how this goes. If something happens to somebody, you're going to say, what the hell were you doing? But that doesn't happen often, and – I think for a young football team that is not established, even though our expectations are very high, you got to go out and get the work in. And that's what Matt LaFleur is going to do. So that's why I'm not overly concerned. I want to see it. And I want to see it in a small dose, but I do want to see it.
And there was a scare yesterday at practice. We didn't talk about this with Rob, and he seems fine. But somebody bumped into Jordan Love. He ended up on the ground, and he ended up limping.
They cut him? They cut whoever did it?
Not to my knowledge, no. But again, I was here with you. So the bottom line is, yes, you can get hurt walking across Oneida Street on your way back from practice. I get it. I just keep thinking about Jordy Nelson.
They have really good police presence and security. Yeah.
John DeJedlo doing
really
a great job directing traffic. Yes, John, thank you.
It would be really
for
difficult
service.
To get hurt walking across the deal. It would be.
Yeah, sure. Unless Antoine Edwards and Mike McKenzie have borrowed someone's car and are tooling around the parking lot and crashing into another car, which once happened during training camp. But that's another story for another day. We need to get to our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. We will do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch. Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, presented by Steinhoffels. What are you doing?
Clapping, baby. I'm excited. I'm fired up.
Oh, well, we're glad you're fired up. I'm fired up about Steinhoffels. They are a great partner. And right now, with a little help from Steinhoffels, you can put together the most amazing space during their back-to-school sale. That's right. Steinhoffels has desks starting at just $199, beds at $249, sofas starting at $399, a Beautyrest full or queen mattress for just $499, and dining sets at just $449, plus so much more. So you got a kid leaving for college, you want to freshen up your space for your, say, I don't know, freshman and eighth grader where they do their homework? Well, you can do that with some help from Steinhoffels. And you can make that new room even more affordable with Steinhoffels' 60-month financing. But hurry, Steinhoffels' back-to-school sale ends on Monday. So shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Time now for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Don't sleep,
you gotta stay up. Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wildy and Tausch.
It is time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. I'm going to fight the urge to pick Andre Dillard. Tausch, you get to go first. Who you got?
Well, let's go through all of the swing tackles and let's examine each and every one.
Luke Tenuta is such a fun name. It'd be great if he won the
job. And I'm pulling for Tenuta. I'm going double here today because it's a preseason game and we're just getting started. I got two.
One on each side of the ball?
Yep, one on each side of the ball.
I recommend that.
I'm not gonna tell you what to do, but that's I always go
I'm
with the backup
tell you what
quarterback.
To do.
I always go with the backup quarterback in the first game just because usually Jordan Love doesn't play or Aaron Rodgers doesn't play. Sean Clifford is going to be my first sleeper. I think he's going to play well. I think he's sick and tired of hearing about, he started camp off bad. Is he the guy? Can he do it? Sean Clifford, I think, is going to have a really nice game. That's where I'm going there. Mm-hmm. And then this little – I'm a sucker for a seventh-round pick. I love me some seventh-round picks. Mm-hmm. I love seventh-round picks that will have some picks. And I saw that Haylen King had one earlier in camp. I don't know if he's had more than one, but he's been, people are talking. People are saying things. I think he has a big play in this preseason game, and I think he elevates himself into the, we like this cat. We got to get this cat out there to play a little bit now. King, those are my two Steinhoffers for the week.
All right, so Tausch put him down for the bold selection of Sean Clifford and for Kalen King, the rookie corner. Who knows how much Jair Alexander will play? Probably not much. I am curious to see how much they play Eric Stokes, given how little football he has played. So maybe he stays out there a little bit longer. But Carrington Valentine's been dealing with a hamstring. Doesn't look like he's going to play. It's hard to say when he's going to practice. So that's a very good choice there. All right, on the offensive side of the ball, I'm taking Grant DuBose, which if you've been to a practice, you've probably seen
Dubois.
Dubois, yeah. No. D small u big B O S E, not D small u big B O I S. Is that what Dubois would be?
Could be. Yeah.
He's made some plays. He was a seventh round pick a year ago. Had back problems. Spent the year on the practice squad. But 86 has made some plays. He's one of those guys that deserves a little bit of attention, and he's going to play a lot. So keep an eye on number 86 on offense. I think Grant Dubose is a guy worth keeping an eye on. I'm also very curious because he had a little bit of ball security issues the other day in practice. Marshawn Lloyd, I want to see how much he plays because he's a third-round pick. We've been extolling his, you know, what did Jordan Love call him? A little rocket in the backfield. You gotta have ball security, though, if you're going to be a little rocket in the backfield. On defense, I wrote about Brenton Cox today. You can read that on Madison.com and then in the Wisconsin State Journal.
Rooting for your story. It's the old FSW.
Rooting your four story. Whatever.
Root for your story.
Nailed it. He deserved a story because he has been disruptive, and he's gotten some time with the ones. There's another guy, and Tausch, I don't know if you saw this a lot during your career, but I'm always intrigued by guys that they keep around even though they're not playing them, right? Like Rasheed Walker was a seventh round pick a couple years ago. He didn't play at all. He played like one special team snap or something ridiculous. They've kept this Caleb Jones fellow going back to the hotly contested third tackle job. Brenton Cox, they kept last year. He saw action in four games. He was a healthy scratch in 12 others. And then he had one of the rare dressed for the game but did not play, which is not easy to do in the NFL. That doesn't happen very often. And so this is a guy who they think can be disruptive, was this way in his time in the SEC, had some disciplinary issues at Georgia and at Florida that kept him from being drafted, but he's got some Rashawn Gary to him. He's not nearly as good as Rashawn Gary, but he's got some similarities in his game, and he's been flashing a little bit of late. So we'll see if he gets to the quarterback. He's going to get a lot of playing time. We'll see what he does. All right, those are my Steinhoffel sleepers of the week. Riley?
Yeah. I got some sleepers.
Yeah,
Jason, I feel like you didn't necessarily steal mine, but you also went the wide receiver, so this may not be as cool anymore. I'm going with Bo Melton on the offensive side of the ball. Really, ever since he
caught a touchdown in the freaking playoff game,
I don't care.
First guy to have a 100-yard receiving game last year for the Packers.
This is why I asked about low-hanging fruit, but no one said anything. I don't think Bo Melton's the lowest-hanging fruit I could have chosen. Anyways.
That's true.
You could have taken Dontavian Wicks,
exactly,
who is not getting enough snaps.
Could have taken Christian Watson, Josh Jacobs. But anyways, ever since he tweeted out that he can't help but eat cheese curds, even though it makes his stomach hurt, I've been his biggest fan, and I will always support Bo Melton. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does this weekend against the Browns. I feel like he isn't talked about enough. Anyways, on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going with Benny Sapp III. Last time I was on the program, talked about Jonathan Owens and whether it would have been worth it to keep him as a backup safety. And now I feel bad for the backup safety. So I'm going to go with the Northern Iowa product, Benny Sapp. I really don't know anything about him other than that, but I'll be rooting for him.
First player in my career that I interviewed his dad when the Packers played the Vikings, and then I interviewed him, my first father-son interview experience. You know you've been doing it a long time when you've covered a father and a son. I did not cover Walter Stanley. His son Dimitri is on the Packers roster right now. Again, I think Bo Melton, we're not going to penalize you for that, but to Riley's point, I don't think we've talked about him very much. And he's had some days where he's had some pretty nice plays, but it does feel like that there's four and then there's kind of everybody else. He's at the top of the everybody else, him and Malik Heath. So we'll see. I don't know how many they're going to keep.
He's the swing wideout.
He's a pretty good swing wide out
exactly.
to have, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
If only you had a tackle that was Bo Melton-esque. All right, those are the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week presented by Steinhoffels. You can share yours to the Wildy and Tausch Twitter feed. We'll check that out coming up. We need to play trivia, though, next. Riley?
Yeah.
Did you do the questions
yeah.
today?
Yeah.
Of course I did. Why wouldn't I have written the questions?
What's the okay? Anyone that's going to call, what's the UFC fight this week? Because you better be dialed in, or you're going to get one wrong.
No, it's not UFC trivia. The category this week is the Packers' opponent, the Cleveland Browns.
The Cleveland Browns is the category.
You see, they're building a new stadium. They're going to build a new stadium.
Yeah, with a dome.
You see that?
I don't like that.
They have certainly released renderings of a new stadium. I think they still have to get it approved, which
that'll pass.
Usually tends
that'll
to
pass.
Do so.
What's right, another $3 billion?
They gave Deshaun Watson $230 million guaranteed. We will not take the 230th call, but 2 plus 3 plus 0 is 5. We'll take caller 5 for this Cleveland Browns trivia. Caller 5, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll play trivia next. It's Wildy and Tausch. Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Dave in Verona. Dave, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. Hoping you get all three right. We were on a perfect week until yesterday. Now we're not so perfect.
I'm glad I'm not the person you're relying on for that perfect week.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure that Browns trivia is my wheelhouse.
No, it might not be Riley's either. We'll all find out together. All right, here we go. Question one. The pressure is off, though. Question one, asked by Tausch. Go ahead.
All right, Dave. Finish the lyric to the nursery rhyme?
Yeah.
That Browns quarterback Jameis Winston used in his press conference yesterday. Knick-knack, paddy-whack. Is it A, give a dog a bone? B, this old man came rolling home, or C, leave Jesse Nelson alone?
I'm going to go with A.
Bam.
Tricky question, though, because the next lyric is what B is. So,
yeah,
well,
it's not the easiest first question.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Leave Jesse Nelson alone because he's on vacation. All right, Dave, question two. Go ahead.
I say it's not exactly Browns related.
The dog pound, the bones. I see that. And it was Jameis Winston dropping this in his press conference. So, all right, question two.
That's true.
Dave, is this. Who are the Cleveland Browns named after? Are they named after Brownie the Elf, former running back Jim Brown, or their first head coach, Paul Brown?
That would be Paul Brown.
Interesting that you would name your team after yourself. Interesting. Not a huge fan.
Do you want to learn some history about that? As I was researching this yesterday.
Researching? I didn't know we had producers who
researched. Producers don't research.
Yeah. No, I needed some good trivia questions. I was dabbling in the research game. But the Browns actually had a fan, a name the team contest. And the name that won was the Panthers. They're going to be the Cleveland Panthers. However, there had been a former team also named the Cleveland Panthers, and the guy who still owned that team, they had become defunct, but the guy technically owned the name still, so he offered to give it to the Browns for like a couple $1,000s. This was in like the 30s or something like that.
What a gentleman.
But then the owner was like, no, we're just going to rename the team something else, and they did a contest, and people were already calling him like Paul Brown's team, so they decided on the Browns.
The Cleveland
might
football
be the
team.
Might be the lamest name of all, if we're being honest. We just come up with a color. That's the best we can do.
Syracuse really. Orange.
All right, Tausch.
That's actually better, though. At least that's got a little vibrancy to it.
Vibrancy. Yeah, it's worth the squeeze.
And it's a fruit.
Exactly. All right, last one. Let's roll along here. This is going to be a ridiculously tough question, by the way. From 1999 to the end of the '23 season, how many quarterbacks have started for the Cleveland Browns? And am I reading parentheses things now?
Yes,
am I supposed to read this right?
Yeah, it's a fun fact.
If you'd be kind enough to
fun fact, Dave. They've only had three seasons in that span where the quarterback started every game. Is it 25 quarterbacks, 38 quarterbacks, or 31 quarterbacks?
Boy, those are all close together. That makes it tough.
Yeah, it's a tough question.
So I feel like I should use a random number generator here. I'm going to go with 31.
According to Riley's research, it is 38.
You sound 38. Skeptical, Jason.
I would be willing to bet that it's probably either 41 or like 37, but I am not going to go through that research. I'm going to trust Riley on that call.
All right. Well, for now, Dave, you are going to be charged with an incorrect answer. You still got two out of the three right, so you have three of the possible four entries into the drawing. If only Gerald Ford had somehow come into this so we could tie him together with Hunter Vaughn and Riley all at once. So you got three entries, Dave. If we remember to do the drawing, that'll be a little bit later in the program. We appreciate you playing, buddy. Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys. Love you.
Did we have a perfect week on Love Yous?
I was just going to say, I think a perfect Love You week, yeah. Which is great.
You know what? You know the perfect way to finish off a perfect week of Love Yous is with something you love. Coors Light.
Indeed. Brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. It is Coors Light, though. Mountains, make sure they're blue. That's when you know the cold activated bottles and cans are chilled to perfection. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. A Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right. The starters need reps, and Riley is filling in for one of our starters, Jesse, who, like Jonathan Owens going to the Olympics, has gone to Krivitz instead of our little training camp here today. By the way,
why is Jonathan Owens in Krivitz?
He wasn't. Jesse's in Krivitz. Jonathan Owens went to Paris.
Oh, I thought you said he went to Krivitz.
No, Jesse went to Krivitz.
Is there anywhere else in the state of Wisconsin that has whitewater rafting besides Krivitz?
I'll let Riley do the research on that, and we'll get an answer for you. By the way, Hard Knocks first episode? Bleh. Meh. Lame.
I told you not to watch it. The show's done. It's over. It's dead.
It's jumped the shark.
If it's not green, it's done. It's over.
Watching Jonathan Owens.
The better stuff is in with the Giants, what they're doing. They got a GM that just tells you everything that he's thinking, which is crazy.
It's true. So it is our preseason as well. So we will do our green and gold game preview. We will do Wilde and Tausch headlines, the old school edition. Although I think the Clinkster might have been cooking up a preseason headline that may even include music, possibly. I've been corresponding with
him. I'm all on board. You know what we could do? Just let our fans do the preseason to see who's – maybe we could push to see who makes the cut, and they can be added into doing what our plan is. We could let them in on our plan, and they could join us season.
It would certainly help some Hall of Fame hopefuls. It'd be an opportunity for them to burnish their resumes. But we'll get to that.
Well, you have such a – I don't envy you at all because you have a long list of folks that are very, very deserving.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
Are you going to let one without the other? Is Jerry Odd going to get in but Clinkster doesn't? They both have put work in and deserve it. are both going to get in from 565 analytics? I don't know the answer
question.
To those
questions. They work for a company that the figurehead pays them nothing, but they work hard on that, and they do the research for
it. It actually costs them money. It actually costs them money to be a part of it.
They're so happy to be part of your life that they'll pay to do it. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch kicks off with our green and gold game preview presented by AmFam today. That happens in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.